So welcome to the UK Monday night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Linda, speaking on the topic of the first half of There Is a Solution. Thank you for speaking to us, Linda, today, and take it away.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm Linda. I'm a compulsive eater, recovered compulsive eater, and a chaos creator. And my particular penchant is for fixing and controlling. That's where I sit in my illness the most. And I do identify as an adult child. I've recently worked the steps, the BBA method, around fixing and controlling and chaos creating. So I was asked, and I'm honoured to be able to say this is my first share. I don't know what I feel, because a lot of the time that's my story. I don't know what I feel, but I am grateful to be able to say I've had a spiritual experience as the result of working this program this way. And so thank you, Lani, for asking me, and for your kindness in the way you helped prepare me to show up this evening. I read today, There Is a Solution again, and I read over my work from when I did this work last year. And I love that this chapter met me just after I'd done my identification with Bill and Bill's story, because I came to this this work with 7 years of abstinence from compulsive eating, miracles upon miracles that had happened in my life as the result of working this program in terms of my compulsive eating. And yet I was continually where the unmanageability of my life was concerned, and where the behaviors that are not really, I suppose, aligned with a spiritual way of being, patience, tolerance, kindness, love, I was just still in a lot of those behaviors, and they were showing up for me daily as kind of step 10s. Sometimes I would do deep dive step 4s using the method that I'd come to know. And then what happened was, as the result of doing Bill's story, in particular, looking at these types of behaviors, what I worked out for what I saw was that I'd actually used this program to set about a set of circumstances that almost turned like a boomerang and cut me to shreds, because I had a deep-seated belief that I just fundamentally was a bad person and trying to get good, and not a very, very sick person trying to get better. So I got to this point, you know, I was already done with step one. I was kind of like, please no more. And then we have to start on There Is a Solution. And what I'm grateful for is at the very beginning, this description of, well, it's asking me, was I as hopeless as Bill? And I absolutely was, because I'd been shown a method of living, a design for living that works, but yet I couldn't get beyond these behaviors. I could be abstinent. And even that was slipping by that stage, and I was really scared. So I was as hopeless as Bill, because I tried everything around this stuff in my recovery, going to workshops, going to retreats, going to paying hundreds of pounds to see specialists and, really prolific people that run workshops for this way of living, courage workshops, bravery workshops, all of this stuff I tried, and I still not, I couldn't do it. And so it describes what I'm going to need. So it describes that I'm an average person, and that this fellowship is made up of all sections of life. And I found that here. The lady that took me through the steps, she just encouraged me to really, she gave me some numbers of people she thought would be able to help. So I started reaching out, and when people were describing to me what was underneath, underneath this behavior that ended up in me compulsively eating, all of the other stuff, it was just people would speak in my story. And what I got straight away was this compassion like I'd never got before. And so I was able to see this cross section from all around the globe of people who were telling me about something that was indescribably wonderful, totally different to what I'd heard before. And maybe they weren't saying anything so different. You people, there's people on this screen here that I reached out to that I'd heard before, but there was something like compassion in that because I now believe those people that have gone before and worked this program this way got what I've now got, which is a much deeper understanding of what the solution is. Now, for me, the solution today is a loving relationship with a power greater than me that is deep down within me, the consciousness of me. Now, that comes later, so I won't really go into that at this point. But this feeling that I'm now sharing with others, this common peril that they describe, and kind of quite lighthearted, that, when the guide that took me through, she was just, every time I told her things that I was doing, she was like laughing and, oh, yeah, me too, and I'm your sister and all this stuff. And I was like, really? And I was really quite hateful of myself in the fact that I who had thought so highly of myself, as Bill had described, in recovery, wasn't able to actually show up for life the way I'd hoped. The tremendous fact is that these people, and now include myself, just starting on this journey, have discovered this common solution. And as I say, the book, the guide says that it's this powerful cement which binds us is a mixture of equal parts of fellowship, which I was getting, and this book. Well, I think, yes, I agree it's this book, but this book is what takes me to the ultimate solution, which is the relationship with God. And then, when I turn the page and it says, first thing, an illness, and we have come to believe this an illness. I used to say that in my food recovery, to people I would sponsor, you do know that this is an illness. And where food is concerned and the compulsion to pick up a substance or a drink, I guess, or drugs, I could really see it as an illness. I couldn't see it like adrenaline as a substance. I saw that people that were addicted to adrenaline were those that base jump off of mountains and do jump out of planes and stupid things. Like, don't do stupid things. God doesn't want you to end your life that soon. But I couldn't see that inside of me was this toxic mixture of I was getting something from the fixing and controlling, the nodding of your head. If I fear that I've lost you and I'm losing you and I'm going to be rejected and all my fears come out and I've got to work out a way that I'm going to get you to nod your head and come back on board with me, and then I get a sense of ease and comfort. And so I was only coming to realize that that is for me how this plays out in my body, and that I might not feel anxiety, adrenaline in the same way that I've kind of a thought of it before, but I know that I'm experiencing that, and that has set up this physical, abnormal, adverse reaction in me. And so it is an illness, and again, I met here with people that were really, again, I was hearing nothing but compassion. I was tired of the really hardline discipline. I didn't realize that I was having some kind of trauma response to wherever I heard discipline. It didn't matter how I heard it. So I had to find people that were able to hold space for me, speak their truth, but also encourage me to get to know a loving God. And often people that I was speaking to were just saying, when you see yourself, don't try and stop, but just like ask yourself the question, well, if there was a loving God, how might that God, have me be? And ask, just ask it. Don't matter who you're asking it to, just ask it. And I did start doing that. And I really found that I had to have quite a naive relationship with God and a childlike relationship with God. And I didn't like it because my spiritual ego was fully grown at 58 years of age and expected me to behave that way. But I had to keep setting that aside and just asking God to meet me where I was at, and it was childlike, and it still can be, and I allow that today. I just allow God to meet me where I'm at. But again, as I say, that did start to come later. I just was, and then I like this bit where it says about on page 18 about this being a great description of an untreated fixer and controller like me, and it's good to look back here, and it says things like, talks about if a person has cancer, all are sorry. Well, I heard today on a share, sometimes many cancers are formed by the way people live their lives, lifestyle related. And so we know that we don't, that it's a body's response to something, and but no way would I ever think of anybody, even if they were dying of lung cancer and they'd been smoking all their lives, there would be compassion. It wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be saying, oh, well, you smoked all your life. What do you expect? But there's something about these illnesses of addiction to substance that's more known that I think, oh, well, I couldn't have compassion for myself. I just couldn't in that respect to this. It's like, put it on yourself. And I did think that. And I really know people that feel like that. Just stop being so stressy. Just don't worry so much. Why do you care what other people think of you? What, let it go. My friends, my family was like, oh, I don't know what's wrong. Well, just stop. Relax. Don't get stressed about what. Well, I think, well, I don't know. Just like, I don't know. You're not, you don't understand me. Yeah. And I can't, don't you think if I could stop, I would stop. I would say openly, well, I'm not stressed. I don't get stressed because I didn't know I got stressed. Because it's so, I'm so disassociated with it. But it does then talk about, not so with the chaos creator, fixer controller, compulsive eater. I was 22 and a half stone at my heaviest in compulsive eating. I never got any compassion for people. People would just say, stop. Just stop eating, eat less, move more. You went to this diet club, go back. It worked. But it didn't work. None of it works. No solution outside of a spiritual one for me has worked. And so they would say those things to me, and they were angry and hurt because they thought I was lazy and that I wasn't taking care of myself. And I'm not lazy. But not so with the chaos creating illness, or adrenaline addicted illnesses. Well, with it, there goes annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferer. And I can see that, I can see that people really try to help me. My doctors, my family, my friends. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity. I spent thousands of pounds trying to get well. Disgusted friends. I think I've always managed to fix and control around my work. So it never got to a point where my employers, so far, I'm not saying it never will. I'll pray to God that I'm able to get better ones at a time here. But so far, it's never really shown up where I've been pulled in at work. I think it's my gold standard comes out at work of fixing and controlling. And so there's a lot of work for me to do there. Walk lives of blameless children. Well, I don't have children, but I have not shown up for people in my life. Anyone can increase this. So that is a good place for me to go there. And later on, the bedevilments, they're good places for me to check in on what it looks like if I'm abstinent, because I can't be abstinent from this adrenaline. It's in my body. I can be aware of it. And get as quickly as possible back to a state of equilibrium, which for me is meditation and prayer with God today on breath and lots of other things that I've learned how to, come back to a base that I've learned here really through meditation. But I can't stop. I can't, it's in me. If I pick up the behaviors, I will start to fix and control. I think I don't really understand abstinence fully yet here. So it's still I'm still a work in progress, but I am progress because I get to God much, much quicker than I ever did before, ever did before. And I get the sense of discomfort when I'm out of alignment with that. And that's progress for me. It tells me that why would I believe, doctors, psychiatrists, competent doctors? We've heard of Dr. Silkworth earlier on describe it, but the most competent psychiatrists in the world, yes, they can be helpful, and I don't, and I don't want to say nothing about that, in fact, through my relationship now with God, I'm only just starting on some external help. But I've gone there when I've tried to fix and control it, and it's just not worked. Whereas
5
now,
minutes remaining.
okay, yeah, I will bear that in mind. Thank you. I need to hear this message from other people here that understand it. That, I mean, again, this share this morning was really great. I just happened upon it, and she was saying, "What, as a gynecologist who's delivered thousands of babies, wants to tell me what it's like to give birth. Am I going to believe him when he's never given birth? Or am I going to believe women that share their experience that have given birth?" And it really resonated with me. It's a bit like, I don't want to disregard what the doctor and the psychiatrist know, but the people that really get me are the people here. So the ex-Chaos creator, who has found the solution, who is, I'm on page 18 in the Itilics, who is properly armed with the facts about themselves, can generally win and did generally win my confidence in a few hours, yeah, because I really identified, and until such an understanding was reached, nothing could be accomplished, and that was my experience. I think I was hanging around OA, and I still go to OA, but I was hanging around there, and just being told about, plans of eating, step 10, step 10, step 10, step 10, step 4 through to 9, step 4, and service, and I don't, I do still work program there, but I didn't have the relationship with God, and I didn't have any compassion or understanding for this. So when I got to hear people share this here, they had my confidence. Yeah, I'll just they had my confidence. And then I love this next bit that talks about how to assess really when I went sponsor shopping. It talks about the man who's making the approach has had the same difficulty that she, the lady I spoke to, did obviously knew what she was talking about. Her whole deportment shouted at me that she was a woman with the answer. She didn't have an attitude of holier than thou, definitely not. Nothing whatever but the sincere desire to be helpful. There were no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please. Oh, no people to please. Oh my God, I still tried. I still tried. But she saw right through it every time. No lectures to be endured. I mean, this is just beautiful because it reminds me of how I was met. And it reminds me of if I could give that to one other person. Well, it would just that's the most fulfilling thing I could hope for, I think, in my life today. Really, genuinely. Yeah, and then and just talks about the hope of the fellowship and the hope of how it leaves me just reading this today, thinking, yes, I do want to give that way to other people now and share in this common peril. Says that we're going to be talking about, things medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. And, by now I had just got an inkling of a loving God. But as I said, I still was not sure where it was coming from. And so I had to just understand it had to be loving. And that was all I could say. And it wasn't going to work for me anymore to read from spiritual gurus, because that was lovely. And I got a lot of, spiritual education in my first few years of abstinence and recovery, but it wasn't going to be enough because it wasn't personal to me. And when my life hit the skids and my body started to scream at me in 2021 that something is deeply wrong here, you try to have a relationship with a man and that fell flat on its face. And then how dare your body then go and give you a heart attack? How dare my recovered body do that to me? I didn't have a God. I just didn't. I had an idea of God, but I didn't have one that would work for me and guide me. And so I did know that I was in deep trouble. And if we're going to have to talk about religion and spiritual things and psychic, well, okay, I'm ready for that, at this point. Yeah. And then I guess this business of which I've really already covered, what people would say to me, just leave it alone. Why don't you drink? Why don't you behave? You went on your workshop. What about the workshop? You were so happy when you come back. Why don't you start practicing those things? I am. Do you know what I mean? I am, but I can't keep it up. I don't even say that to me. I'm just lost when people say, because they don't understand. I didn't even understand that I couldn't stop that stuff. I was saying to myself the things that other people were saying to me. I was a baffled lot. But a world of ignorance, I think, is what it says. Something about behind it is a world of ignorance or something like that. Sorry, I can't find that exact piece. Commonplace observations we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. My own agnosticism, my own misunderstanding of what this was about was as much at play here as what other people were saying to me. I am a real chaos creator, fixer, and controller of the hopeless variety. And without this spiritual solution, I know that I am, going on to the bitter end. I do believe I've had the solution offered to me. I see myself very much as a baby in this fellowship and in this way of living towards emotional sobriety. But what is gift to me is the fact that I can honestly show up here, say that to people on a screen and on the telephone, and know that that's okay. As long as I keep showing up for my relationship with God and I use this as a guide and a way, I know I don't fear the fact that I may have 10 more workshops in me. I don't care if it comes in workshops. I don't care if it comes with me working with others. I don't care if I get, invited to work again with one person on a one-to-one in small groups. I just know that every time I show up with the idea that I want to be well and live a life along spiritual lines, aligned with my true purpose, which is not to create chaos and it's not to harm this finite exterior that holds this infinite chip of God. I am responsible to show up and do what I can do for that today. I do it really imperfectly, but I still can't say that. And then I want to berate myself every single time. I want to berate myself and go, well, I don't do it very well, but I am learning. I don't have to do that anymore. There is no finish line. I'm on the highway to happy, joyous, and free. And I have had the experience of being happy, joyous, and free. And at this point here, I'm sorry I didn't get to describe the person that's been puzzling us, but we all know that person really well. And when you do the work, you get to know, I got to know that person, the real Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. A lot closer. All I know is by the time I get here, at the end of the work here, I have to know that I am the real chaos creator, compulsive eater, adrenaline addict, fixer and controller, and that I am a hurt, tender child of God that needs to heal, needs a lot more healing, and that I'm in the right place. And I want to go on and do the work. And that's where I was, and that's where I still am. And I'm grateful. And I'll just say to anybody who does this work, just it's so brave. And I didn't even know how brave I was being. I didn't even know how brave I was being trying to fight this on my own. Now I feel really sorry for that little one in me that was trying so hard to do it as a discipline. But today I do it because I want to. And I do know that I need to. Because as I say, I don't think that's the first time I think that's come out of my mouth, that I see that as my responsibility, that I am carrying around in this finite shell some infinite matter that matters. And I have a responsibility to show up for that. And that's an awakening for me, as I've shared here tonight. So I'll probably have to play this back to believe that that came out of my mouth. I think I'll leave it there if that's okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Okay. Let's see.